Welcome to Quilting Kentucky Stories, a special series from Tales from the Kentucky Room. I am Sylvia Lovely, coach, teacher of writing, and particularly writing the stories of your life. The stories you will hear, most of them are from my writing students in the Carnegie Center for Literacy and Learning class entitled Writing the Stories of Your Life, or from opportunities I have had to coach budding writers. Some of these stories are funny, some sad, and sometimes both. They are not lengthy, but each adds on an exclamation point to life. This is Leo York with The Fairy Tree.
The Fairy Tree. For most of my life, as far back as I can remember, in fact, I've always been torn between two points of view. There's the clinical materialist perspective that everything in our world and that we're aware of can be measured, quantified, evaluated objectively. And another point of view that there are things in this world that can't be measured or quantified, can't be fully understood. I've spent most of my life studying science and folklore and mythology in equal measures, and it's been very difficult to marry those two ideas together. But there was one fateful day in particular, in 2010, that really put those two in direct conflict as well as in a unique position where one had to be fully cognizant of the other. I was walking around in, at the time, what were my woods, and this was in southeastern Kentucky, and I just loved walking out into the forest and seeing all the trees and insects and animals and sometimes finding wild fruit to forage like mayapples or pawpaws. This was in the middle of summer during kind of the hot season, so nothing of that sort could be found. But I was also, incidentally, taking a course on entomology at the University of Kentucky, and it's very difficult to put into words how unpleasant killing things tends to be for me. And part of the curriculum, as fascinating and wonderful as that class was, probably one of my favorite classes I ever took, killing things in order to understand them always kind of stuck in my craw. So as a result, oftentimes I would gather up recently deceased insects, even though it was against the rules, and put that into the collection for taxonomy purposes, which was a huge part of that class. But as a result, I had a file of 200 proof ethanol on me at the time that I was walking in the woods in the event that I found a specimen that would have been good to catalog. While I was walking around just enjoying myself, no particular importance of being there, when in the distance, I saw something white. And that's very uncommon in nature. Nature is green. Nature is brown. Nature is beige. Nature is occasionally red or orange if it wants to be threatening. But white and blue pretty much don't exist outside of the sky. And here was something that was as white as a cloud. Couldn't make out what it was. So, being curious, I slowly ventured further. And it gets bigger, and I get closer, and not only does it get bigger, but it starts moving. I start seeing this strange dancing and writhing and undulating that's almost serpent-like. That's the closest thing I can compare it to. Imagine seeing in the distance some kind of snake that's as white as snow, which albinos exist, but usually they don't live very long because things see them, like I saw it, and they eat them. So this was unlikely. So I got closer and closer, and eventually, once I reached it enough to visually register it, I realized I was looking at a tree, a big old beech tree that normally had nice smooth gray bark, but in this case, from root to apex, it was covered in wool. A cottony mass that was dancing and moving and undulating, and it was incredibly unnatural. It didn't make any sense. The two first thoughts that came to mind were the burning bush from Exodus and the very real concern that I had touched something that had caused me to hallucinate. So I got close enough to truly observe this strange object, and curiosity took hold, and I didn't care about the danger of touching whatever this was. So I reached out, and I put my hand very gingerly on the trunk of the tree. And to my surprise, it didn't feel like moss or burning or anything that I was kind of anticipating. Instead, my hand was tickled by dozens of little bitty feet. And once I raised my hand to get a better look at what I had, I out loud exclaimed, "Fairies." These were fairies. These were pixies. They had little white ballroom-looking dresses that were frilly and lacy. They had wings, four, not two. And they had six little tiny legs covered in little briar-like material. And they had eyes. And they were adorable. They were absolutely adorable. And in that moment, I was very, very divided between two views. On one hand, I knew that this was something that could be clinically identified, taxonomically categorized, dissected, and fully understood. On the other hand, I was very confident that people in the past had seen these creatures and given them the moniker fairies. These were indeed fairies. So I was very distraught about what to do next. My inner folklorist wanted me to just call this a magical day, don't tell anybody, and just go home and enjoy the memory of finding a whole bunch of fairies. On the other hand, I did want to better understand what I was looking at, and ultimately my inner scientist won, and I took out that vial of 200 proof ethanol, and I put one hapless little fairy in it to take to University of Kentucky and show my professor. So a few days later, I talk to Professor Juergen and I show him. And sure enough, there's a proper name for them. They're woolly aphids. Many people even regard them as pests. But what was rather remarkable was after I told him the story of what I had actually seen, he was equally skeptical and excited. If what I was telling him was true, and unfortunately there was no way of verifying that, I had seen something that was pretty unusual, if not possible. You see, these are pest species, by most folks reckoning, because they drink the sap from plants, and occasionally they occur in clusters on roses and occasionally trees, and they occur in clusters of hundreds, maybe thousands. And if it's in the thousands, they do quite a bit of damage to those plants. Yet this tree was utterly covered by not hundreds, but likely hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of little fairies. So I went back to check the tree. Dr. Juergen had informed me that it was likely sick and dying, and therefore they just took advantage of it like a feeding frenzy, and it was likely dead. So I go back and I check out that beech tree, and it was perfectly unscathed. It didn't have a dead leaf on it. To this day, I don't really know what I witnessed, but that was the day that the materialist, scientific part of me and the folkloric, this world is vaster and more complicated than we can ever know side of me, decided to just put aside their differences and agree to disagree. And I've been two minds ever since, and I've been okay with it.
Thanks for listening to Quilting Kentucky Stories, a special series from Tales from the Kentucky Room. If you want to hear more episodes like these, you can subscribe, rate, and review Tales from the Kentucky Room on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts. Or you can visit us at lexpublib.org/podcasts. That's lexpublib.org/podcasts. We'll be back with another patch for the Quilt of Kentucky Stories.